We will be going to the world of silent films for the next while. Silent, a little bit of a misnomer because there was plenty of sound, but often in the early days it was provided by the theater organist, and we have one such with us today. The art is still very much alive, and Jelani Eddington, welcome to the Midday.
Thank you, Norman. It's great to be here.
Also with us is Rudy Lino, who is a consultant with Duck Soup Cinema. That is a phenomenon that's been going on for years, as well as its predecessor, The Sounds of Silence, at the Overture Center in the Capitol Theater, it's called now. I guess it was still Oscar Mayer when you started out the series.
That's correct.
And the neat thing about the series is that the organ, the Grand Barton organ, is the original one, still in the same place it was back in the days of the silence when, Lillian Gish and company held sway. So at what point did you become aware of this tradition, Jelani?
Well, I started with theater organ. I heard a theater organ for the first time when I was about 8 years old, and it was in a pizza parlor back in Indianapolis. I grew up in Indiana, so that was sort of in my backyard. And I first got interested in the organ as a solo performance instrument. I had studied the piano when I was younger and then made the transition to organ and then ultimately theater organ. And as part of the history of our instrument for the theater pipe organ, as I think many of your listeners may know already, those instruments were designed to provide musical accompaniment to silent films that were very prevalent in the late 19-teens through the 1920s. And since that was a big part of the history of our instrument, I sort of naturally got interested in pursuing that side of things as well.
Had you seen silent films one form or another before that?
I think the first silent film I ever saw, again, was back in this restaurant, this pizza parlor that was in Indianapolis. They had usually on Friday nights, they would have a short silent film, usually about 15 or 20 minutes long, and the featured organist would accompany it. And that was the first time I ever saw one. And it was fascinating to me to watch that, not just from the mechanics of playing the organ, but also synchronizing the sound, the music, the sound effects to the action that was taking place on the screen. So that was my first introduction, and very interested in it, and it's been fun to pursue that ever since.
And I should mention that Jelani will be performing on that Grand Barton organ this Saturday night at 7 as part of the Duck Soup Cinema series, the film The Flying Ace, which is a first for the series. And something of a groundbreaker in terms of social commentary, too, for what was the year of that,
1926.
And in the case of the film you're playing for Saturday night, The Flying Ace, do we have the original score for that?
For The Flying Ace, no. I don't have the original score. And it's one of the things that's one of the challenges about both a challenge and also an opportunity for accompanying is what kind of music do you use and how do you actually go about choosing the music, the themes, to make an appropriate accompaniment. In some cases, there is an original score that exists. That tends to be the exception rather than the rule. Many, many times there's no thematic material available or not readily available. And in that case, it really comes down to the organist and selecting appropriate music. As you might guess, there are a lot of us that do this, and there are a lot of different approaches to how to accompany a silent film. My personal approach, for example, for what I did for this silent film, The Flying Ace, obviously the most important thing is to know the film really, really well.
I would think so.
You have to watch the film many times. You literally have to know frame by frame what's happening, what's about to happen. And from there, I will start to develop themes for major characters. So if there's a romantic interest, for example, there would be a love theme. If the leading man, the leading lady, the villain, all of those sorts of character types will have a theme associated with them.
Sort of an old operatic convention, but maybe carried a step further.
Right. It's sort of like a leitmotif, in a sense. And so in addition to the characters, sometimes there are important scenes that need to have a special special music written for them. And so I will develop that thematic material. And then from there, it's really a question of timing. It becomes a question of weaving those themes together with the film. So while I watch the film and rehearse the film, I'm playing the music that I've developed. And obviously not just the notes, but the timing of how to weave everything together. When do you bring in one theme? When do you bring that out and bring in another theme? While at the same time looking for what are often referred to as cues, so important things that happen. So if, for example, if a clock strikes 12 or there's a gunshot or somebody falls down, there's some sort of a...
convey that with the organ,
you convey that with music or with a sound effect. The Barton organ has a number of sound effects, things like bird whistles and crash cymbals, and all of those effects are part of the tonal palette that the organist has to come up with that score.
Well, all right, we're going to hear some of the music that you wrote for the Harold Lloyd comedy, The Freshman, which was screened last month at the Capital City Theater. And this is all original music with you.
Correct.
And we're going to hear the opening titles and a little bit of music following. So what's going on with this, Jelani?
Well, I used the same process for The Freshman. The Freshman is a wonderful film with, it's a comedy. So there are a lot of things that are going on both in terms of comedy and in terms of cues. The basic idea here is that the star, Harold Lloyd, decides to join the football team of the college that he's just started to attend. It was a great theme and great timing for the start of the academic year in Madison as well. And so a lot of the music is centered around that. So one of the things that I did was to compose a fight song for this fictitious college that he's going.
You didn't borrow a college fight song, you made up your own.
I didn't borrow one. There's sort of a typical format for a college fight song, and so I followed that basic format, but it was an original theme.
So we'll hear that by and by in this excerpt, actually the beginning of Jelani Eddington's music for The Freshman.
Thank you.
Well, it has a sound, but also kind of conjures images all its own, doesn't it? Right away, you know that you're not listening to anything but music for a silent film.
It does, and sort of as we're listening through that, that was about the first couple of minutes of the score, and so the film starts with opening credits. So the first thing the audience sees is a pennant waving, and that's where we first hear that fight song theme come up. And then as we listen through that, a lot of the music that we just heard was for those opening credits. So generally what I will do is, and it's usually the last step of my score preparation, once I've developed all the themes and developed all the music, then I'll write an overture. And so that's what we just heard. So starting with the fight song, and then we went into Harold Lloyd's main theme.
Yeah, I think I recognized that.
Mm-hmm. And then we moved into the main love theme. And depending on how long those opening credits are, sometimes they can be as short as 20 seconds, sometimes it's a minute and a half. So that dictates how that that overture gets put together. In this case, I think it was about 45 seconds worth of overture. And then you started to hear the Harold Lloyd theme come back in as the action of the film starts to develop from that point.
And you know, we talked about precision. Do you ever, in terms of the timing, do you ever have to hurry yourself up a little bit to get to that clock striking cue or the slap cue or kind of make adjustments a little bit as you go?
Absolutely. The most important thing while you're playing is you're also watching the film. So at the Capitol Theater, there is a little monitor that sits on top of the organ console so that I can watch the film as the audience is watching it. I have my score prepared and I have copious notes on what's happening in every scene. And so I know, for example, if there is a cue coming up, I know it's about to happen. So I'm watching for that and then making minor adjustments to the tempo and the pacing of the score to make sure that I'm right where I need to be when I need to be there.
Do you ever have the luxury of actually getting back to sit back and watch one of these films with your score?
It's rare because I'm usually playing the score.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't imagine offhand how you would pull that off, but it would seem like it would be, as I say, something of a luxury to be able to actually enjoy it as an audience member once.
It would be fun. I have had the great privilege of hearing some of my colleagues do this kind of work, and it is always a lot of fun because you're really experiencing these films in the way that they were heard back in the 1920s. And when you can sit, like at the Capitol Theater, you're sitting in a beautiful theater listening to an original pipe organ, theater pipe organ, accompany a film from the 1920s. It's really an experience that is very fulfilling to have. So I enjoy that when I'm an audience member as well.
How many of these silent films are there out there to resuscitate? I, some time ago, had a conversation with the curator of the film department of the Library of Congress, and he said that films made prior to 1968, 50% of them are just gone. Hard to believe.
I think the percentage is probably even higher than that. There are very few left from the silent era. There's no question about that, and it's getting more and more difficult every year to come up with quality prints.
Yeah, on that occasion, he was in town to celebrate the recreation of a complete print of, I think it was Dr. Strangelove. Mm. And they had to go to something like 9 countries, believe it or not, to put together that film from the 60s. Well, let's go back to the freshman, and we'll hear a little bit more from the beginning of that. Can you give us a little advanced play-by-play on that, Jelani?
Sure. So what happens after we get through the title shots? We are seeing Harold, young Harold, at home, and he's thinking about what it's going to be like to go off and be a college freshman. And he decides that he will need to bone up a little bit on the sports team there, and he practices his cheers and the sports yells. And so there's a very funny scene at the beginning of the film where he is upstairs at home in his bedroom, and he is practicing the fight song yell and the cheers, and his poor parents are downstairs hearing all of this thundering and booming upstairs, not really knowing quite what to make of it.
And he is what today we would call a geek.
In a way of speaking,
he's not an athlete, and of course, how else are you going to get the comedy unless he's out of sync with all the relatively sophisticated people around him?
Right.
Harold Lloyd. So here we are, back to the freshman, the organist, Jelani Eddington. credit our engineer, Steve Gotcher, who recorded the entire performance of The Freshman last month and got all that wonderful subtlety from organist Jelani Eddington. And we could kind of relive some of the events of the film, those of us who have seen it, with just the various little stings and effects in there. And, you know, we heard, of course, laughter, too, in this. The audience reacting in part to the visuals, but of course in part to the visuals as reinforced by your score and your performance, very much a thing of the moment, unlike going to any other kind of film, these silent films with the live accompaniment. Do you, Jelani, find comedy maybe slightly more rewarding in that sense because you right away know that the audience is reacting to what you're doing?
Perhaps in a sense, but one of the most important things that you can do as an accompanist of a silent film is to reinforce and to help develop the correct emotional response
right.
from the audience. So in the case of a comedy, that may be a little, in a sense, easier in
sure.
the sense that there's the visual cue on the screen. Again, if somebody slips on a banana peel and falls down in the middle of the street, you can play something, maybe a bass drum, maybe some sort of a musical effect on the organ to provoke laughter out of the audience. If it's more of a dramatic film and there's less of the slapstick kind of comedy, your role is no less important because there are some very poignant moments. And your cueing and how you perform that is very, very important. And if you miscue it, if you play the wrong kind, if you play something that's comedic at a time
yeah.
where it's very poignant, you can ruin the effect of that particular scene.
Or I would think, based on radio drama experience, that if your timing is just off even a few seconds, you can really go from pathos to bathos.
Right. And some of the best advice I got from some of my colleagues is if in the course of accompanying a film you miss a cue, just leave it go. Keep
yeah.
going. Don't go back and ring the doorbell 5 minutes late because it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, so true. Well, thanks for coming in and giving us some insights into the world of silent film and providing live music for silent films. Rudy Lino has also been with us. He's a consultant for the Duck Soup Cinema series, and Jelani Eddington has played the last several, haven't you, of these silent films?
Yes, I've had that great privilege.
And he'll be performing again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Capitol Theater in Madison. The film The Flying Ace, one which is new to the series. Always a pleasure to hear you.
Thank you so much, Norman. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And you'll be back in February, too, I believe.
I look forward to that as well.